So the first presentation, the title is Curricular Alignment with Health Education Specialist Practice Analysis Result. So we have two presenters, Erin Edmonds and then Kelly Radicans. So I'm going to introduce the two presenters. Dr. Edmond is Assistant Professor of Health Science at the Ball State University. She holds a PhD in Health Education and Health Promotion from University of Alabama and a Master's degree from the University of Mississippi. Dr. Edmond has received National Commission for Health Education credentialing for 5 years on Division Board on Preparation and Practice and 3 years on the Board of Commissioners, and has been teaching higher education for over 7 years. So Dr. Radican is a professor of public health in the College of Veterinary Medicine at Virginia Tech. He holds a bachelor's degree from California State University and an MSPH degree from UCLA and a PhD from University of Illinois, and then also MPH from University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Okay, so Dr. Edmond, thank you so much.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Edmond, so I'm going to be doing the first few slides, and then the meat of it is going to come from Dr. Redican over there. All right, so we had no relationships to disclose. And these are our learning objectives for this session. Explain the purpose of curricular alignment with the HESPA results and describe methods of curricular alignment with the HESPA results on both undergraduate and graduate levels. The majority of it from Dr. Redican is going to be graduate. So this is just a little bit about the HESPA and hierarchical framework. Are y'all all familiar with HESPA? I hope. If you're not, just a brief thing, Ms. Dixie Dennis over here could probably speak it up and down since she was one of the coordinators. But this was the Health Education Specialist Practice Analysis. It's completed every 5 years. I have my notes here to make sure I get it all correct. And some of the things that this particular one was, the data was gathered between February 2013 and August 2014. And what we have up here is basically, and I'm not a podium girl, so basically what we have up here on the top one is this is the new HESPA versus the current HEJA. So you can see the difference between the entry level, advanced, and advanced two. So if you notice here, advanced one, both of them basically went up, but the entry level went down. Okay, so that's just showing you the difference between the two. And then the bottom one, this is the areas, competencies, and subcompetencies at each level. So this is just showing you, of course, the seven responsibilities remain the same, and this is the total subcompetencies changed here. All right, so what's down here is the new HESPA result. So it's just showing you how many competencies, subcompetencies, entry level, advanced, and advanced too. Some of the biggest changes, there were a few areas that were expanded. The three big ones were advocacy, evaluation, and with social media were the big areas that were expanded to include additional subcompetencies. The other thing that was big that happened with the HESPA was the incorporation of the term health promotion. So anytime now where you saw, used to say see health education, now it says health education and promotion. That was another one of the big findings. And of course, the HESPA, you know, this is what's actually going on in the field. This is HESPA exam questions. So one of the other things that it did was break down the percentages of the questions for the exam. So here's the chest here, and the percentages of the questions that are going to come from each of the responsibilities. This is the new HESPA. So these are the percentages that are going to come from for CHES and then MCHES. Now, these exams down here, something you probably definitely want to know, these exams will begin aligning for MCHES April 2016 and for
CHES October 2016. It's when these new alignments will come into effect.
That's all for me. You guys, all the, I saw the Mississippi accent you get to listen to for a little bit. Now we have Dr. Carrie Redican.
Thank you, Ellen. Okay, as you can tell with all of the competencies and subcompetencies, there's a lot of moving parts to getting certified as well as to preparing professionals to, in fact, become certified by taking the exam. And so what this really entails now is reflecting back on your curricula to, in fact, map your curricula against the competencies to make sure that they're prepared for the exam. And what you see here is a matrix that's been developed that will help facilitate that whole process, and I'll walk you through an example of that that we did here, we're in the process of doing at Virginia Tech. But it's not going to be unlike your graduate programs. For example, if you have an MPH program and you've, you know, you've gone through all the competencies and so forth and mapped your courses against them for accreditation and that, it's a very, very similar kind of a process. But what you can see here, for example, in Area 1, Assess Needs, Resources, Capacity for Health Education Promotion, and what you can, how you can lay this out is you have course titles, obviously. You have courses and course titles in your programs. And then you have the competency, like competency 1.1, and the subcompetencies after that that you're familiar with for the entry level. You also have the advanced level then after that, where, again, you're mapping these competencies against courses. So it does require a number of different things. So there's Area 1, Area 2, Planning, Health Education, Health Promotion. Again, the same type of a format where you lay out the courses and you look at the competencies, which is on a separate document. Area 3, Implement Health Education Promotion. Area 4, Evaluation and Research. You're very familiar, I'm sure, with these areas. And Area 5, Administer and Manage Health Education Promotion. And it's all the same process, really, in terms of laying out, identifying the courses and laying them out and benchmarking what's done in those courses against the competencies, all right? And then Area 7. And so you've got the analysis sheet in terms of area responsibility and so forth. You can you kind of collectively group all that together. And I guess the question running through your mind, will you have access to these? And the short answer is yes. You will, in fact, have access to them. So it's not something you're going to have to develop within an Excel framework and so forth. So anyway, let's take a look at an example of how we did this, all right, at Virginia Tech. At Virginia Tech, we have a Master of Public Health degree, and within that Master of Public Health degree, we have a public health education track. Our program is 48 credit hours. We have 21 hours of core classes and then 12 hours in the public health education track, 9 hours of practicum capstone, 3 hours of professional workshops, and 3 hours of electives that students select from. So if a person is majoring in public health education as a part of the MPH or has selected that track, the competencies are going to be addressed across all of those courses. It's not just going to be in the 12 hours of public health education. Some of it may be from biostats, some of it may be from epidemiology, some of it may be from environmental health and so forth. So you're not just going to find them just solely in the health education track. That's why it's important that you lay out all those courses in a program and identify where those competencies are addressed. So if you look at our program here, and you probably have to squint a little bit, you can see it's a 4-semester program. They're taking these courses and concentration courses across the 4 semesters. And if we look at how we wind up using those courses or looking at those courses in terms of competencies, first of all, suggestion is you involve all faculty. Unless you teach all the courses in the program, you have to involve all those faculty. You have to get them to buy into it because it is a very, very tedious process. And it's one that they're going to have to go back through and look at about everything they do in a particular course and make sure that it's really related to competencies or to the extent that it's related to competencies. So you identify all the courses that are making a contribution to the areas of responsibility, which in our case is literally all of them. You can have each faculty member complete a competency matrix. So you can do that either individually against their courses or collectively, I guess. You could send that around and so forth, and they can each add to it. You're going to wind up consolidating all the responses, and then the faculty and program review of the consolidated matrix, and then you make any of the necessary adaptations that you need to the courses. And in a sense, really, you have to be able to do that in order to decide, or in order to find out where the weaknesses are, in order to find out where you need to add material and so forth. So it's about the only way to really get at that Other than that, it would be probably a very, very frustrating process. So to kind of give you an example here, here's my course, Program Development and Health Education, and I've just showed you the first few pages of that. And the way I lay out my course as a part of the program is describe the course, obviously, and then I relate the course itself in the syllabus itself. I address which competencies are addressed in that particular course. So it does keeps us all mindful, myself, the students, the other faculty, and that. And again, going through the course, identifying what the objectives are and so forth, and just laying out what those competencies are that are addressed in the course. That's really the way I wind up doing it. Several of the other faculty wind up doing it. And then the rest of the stuff is pretty much pro forma syllabi types of materials and that. Okay, so let's just take area one, all right? Assessing needs, resources, and capacity for health education promotion. That's literally pretty much what grounds the course that I teach, okay? So if we look at four courses that would address area one in our program, you see PHS 5004, which is Fundamentals of Public Health. 5034 is the Principles of Public Health. PHS 5204 is Program Development. And 5214 is Program Evaluation. So you've got literally those four courses that are going to make the major impact here. Although we can't add others to that. But with Area 1, that's pretty much where most of the heavy lifting is going to be done with respect to the competencies. So the way you can do this is to lay this out, and the directions are there with the matrix, where if you're meeting the competency, that would be scored a 2, all right? If you're partially meeting that competency, you would score that a 1, and then if you're not meeting that competency, literally you would put a 0 there. So you would go through and identify, for example, competency 1.1, all right? Which is plan assessment process for health education promotion. Subcompetency 1.1 would be define priority population to be assessed. Okay, again, you go through all of those. There's a lot of material here, and then you wind up scoring it as such. And so if you look at that particular area one, not much is done in terms of the fundamentals class. Not much is really going to be done even in terms of the principal class the way we configure it at Virginia Tech. Some of it might be done in the 5034 is the health behavior class. 5204 is the principles class, and some of that is done in there. And then most of it's going to be done in the program class. So a lot of those competencies and subcompetencies under 1.1 are going to be scored 2. And then a number of them are going to be scored 1s and 2s from the principles course. And then the health behavior course will cover some of that as well. All right. Then you wind up adding them up, okay? And then you can look at it by total areas of responsibility. And then we also have the advanced level competencies that you'll see there as a part of that. For example, competency 1.1.4 is apply theories and or models to the assessment process, all right? Well, that's going to be covered under there in terms of the advanced. And same things with the others. We can take too long to wind up going through all of those. So you literally complete this matrix, and it'll give you a good idea of where the gaps are, a good idea where you need to strengthen courses, and a good idea where there may even be duplication. So it does help. It's tedious, and you need to involve all faculty, but it does in fact help you to stay focused and to make sure that everything is in alignment there. Okay? So that's basically it in terms of just having a tool to be able to map the curriculum to be able to be in compliance with meeting competencies. I think my time's up. Okay.
One last thing here, real quick, I wanted to show you. On the you're going to have access to these within the 2015 framework publication. It's going to be out April or May in 2015, and that's where these matrices are going to be, and the directions on how to use them is going to be. We are unable right now, once the framework comes out, that's where all of the specifics about what additions specifically are going to be included. So we're just basically giving you examples on how to use the information that's going to be in that framework. So.
And again, if you have any follow-up questions or whatever, feel free to contact myself or Ellen, and we'll be happy to tell you what works and what doesn't and so forth. Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, thanks.